Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
And welcome to ITE 1 Module 5.
Windows 9X operating system is today, I believe, Kerry.
It is indeed. And I was just making sure that I was recording because we had a rather nasty accident yesterday when we weren't. So here we are.
This is take two.
Take three, actually.
Oh, take three, that's right.
Yeah, it is. We had take two yesterday and that didn't come out at all. Okay, now, basically what we're going to cover in this module is, as we said, Win9X operating systems, the various quirks and bits and pieces that that behave with each.
The registry,
we will. And especially we're going to talk about partition tables and logical drives and extended partitions and all sorts of funky things. Take your stand against graffiti, sign a partition. Okay. So we'll get started and we'll see what we can get through. And if you guys have any questions, post to the mailing list or talk to us on conference, assuming that it's going to work.
Oh, we're going to sort of try and sort this thing out one way or another, aren't we?
I think so. So, well, all right.
Okay. So basically, as Kerry said, it's quite a lot to be done in today's lesson, so we better get going. And first off is, and you know, some of you will have heard this, but if you are having problems, we wanted to room record it, so you've got a nice quality lecture. So the first off the boat is naming files in Windows. So most importantly, have a good understanding of how the Windows file structure and management system works. Because you need to be able to understand how to interpret and use the information that's on the directories, how to use Windows Explorer, how to understand the drive letters and file names. So there's a number of terms that are used to describe places where you store information, and the two terms are directory and folder. And prior to the introduction of Windows, files were stored in directories and subdirectories utilising a tree structure. And as I mentioned yesterday, there's still a few of those tree structure systems around today.
Well, there's a hell of a lot of those trees.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
And they're great, I guess, for size of people who can see them, not so good for us.
Well, it used to be pretty.
Used to
be pretty cool for you, but not anymore these days. But these, as we were saying, there's two terms: directory and folder. Now, one of the reasons they changed it from directory to folder was people didn't like the term directory, and folder made you think of a filing cabinet. But we'll cover that in a moment. But that's why they changed the name from directory to folder.
And the files we refer to as the documents. So. And if you think of a subfolder, it's simply a folder within a folder. And, you know, we tend to use those names somewhat interchangeably. When we're working in Windows and DOS, the file names of Windows early versions are limited to 8 characters plus a 3-letter extension or suffix.
I actually saw, just as a very quick digression, I actually saw a pretty funny ad when Windows 95 was released. And on the left-hand side, they had a picture of the Windows 3.11 for Workgroups File Manager, and it had LFOYD.doc. And then on the right-hand side, it had Windows 95 Explorer, and the file view showed long file name of your dreams.doc.
I like it. Anyway, so when you have the 8 characters and the 3-letter suffix or extension, that format's called an 8.3 convention.
Well, 8.3 if we're in Australia, funnily enough. We sort of abbreviate that one, yeah.
And Windows 98 and later versions, we've actually extended the length of file names of up to 255 characters. Folder names use the same rules as the file names, and the characters forward slash, backslash, semicolon, colon, star, question mark, quotes, forward.
Less than and greater than.
Yes. This is what I was trying to think of. Shouldn't be used in those file names.
Neither
associated with special functions.
Neither should the vertical bar character, which isn't in that list.
Mm.
And neither should the plus, which isn't in that list.
Mm.
So there you go, that's all right.
Well, they've got them now.
Yeah.
So basically, if you get those, if you use those characters, you're going to get a display that will prompt you. Hey, silly, why'd you do that? Mm. Rename the file. So.
Well, actually, under DOS, which or in the command prompt, you don't actually see that display, so it just complains bitterly at you. The other thing that's worth mentioning here is, and it's not mentioned in these notes, but you cannot have a file name that is the same as a reserved device name, because what actually happens is it tries to write to the device. So we actually had somebody try to call their document prn.txt, and PRN is the name of the default printer.
Yes.
And every time they tried to open that file and stuff, when they tried to save it, it would actually print out on their default printer rather than saving, which was a very interesting problem to troubleshoot. But I didn't print it.
Problems?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what
would
you call them?
That's right.
But your legal characters you can use include all of your other characters and numbers that are on your standard computer keyboard. When using uppercase characters in Windows, you treat the same as the lowercase characters. So if you've got a file named with any name you like to choose, in the notes it says bob.txt in uppercase, equals the same as file name lowercase bob.txt.
And as I said yesterday, Windows is case preserving, so if you have an uppercase file or a lowercase file, it will actually show you the case that you put it in, but it is not case sensitive, so you cannot have two files, one called bob.txt in uppercase and one called bob.txt in lowercase. You can only have one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not true with the internet, and Unix treats the file names in a more unique way. Therefore, when you're on the internet, uppercase bob.txt doesn't equal lowercase bob.txt.
And the same holds true for the Macintosh, because it's got Unix in its gizzards, so it also has that function, that the case is considered significant.
Have we got many Mac users on the board, do you know,
Jerry? No, I don't think we do, but I mention it because the screen readers and stuff for the Mac are becoming quite prevalent.
Yeah.
So. Drive letters, which is another thing the Macintosh doesn't have to bother with, which is good for them, I can tell you. But let's get into drive letters. Drive letters, they use... I'll just do this drive letters bit, because I've been a bit... Well, I haven't really been that quiet, but...
What is the unusual character?
That's true. 26 letters, A through Z, funnily enough. Sesame Street did teach me something. Followed by a colon. You'll often hear colon referred to as dot dot. For example, the letters A and B are reserved for your floppy drives. The drive letter C usually refers to the first hard disk partition, and if you don't have a hard disk, it refers to either a RAM disk or a CD-ROM. But most computers do have a hard disk, so the C is the first DOS partition or whatever on a hard drive. The letter D is used for a subsequent hard disk or partition. And in fact, if you only got one hard disk, then D represents the CD-ROM, generally speaking. There are always exceptions to these rules. If you've got lots of hard disks, the second physical hard disk will assume the letter D. Actually, the second primary partition will assume the letter D, and we'll talk about that later. And the CD-ROM will shuffle up to E. So, the My Computer window, that shows them all. It usually does, anyway. Windows wants to see them, it's there in My Computer. You see your hard disks and your CD-ROMs and things like that. Sorry, I'll just let you continue on there from there on if you want to. Do you want to?
Okay, so...
You'll need to carefully assign. That's the bit you're up to.
Oh, absolutely.
carefully assign those drive letters for DOS, because some DOS and Windows programs refer to a specific drive letter. And it's all very well and good. You have this computer with one hard disk and this CD-ROM, and you're running Shoot the Vengeful Instructor 7, which is a new game that's just come out. And you've installed it from CD, and then you went and installed a new hard drive because you ran out of disk space, and the CD-ROM that was D became E, and your second hard drive became D, and all of a sudden Attack of the Vengeful Instructors doesn't run anymore because it can't find its CD.
Oh, So with Windows 98 though, you can actually have a drive letter, plus you can assign a name to call the drive label, and that can be up to about 11 characters, I believe.
It can. And it can have a space in it, but I wouldn't recommend it.
So when we're working with directories and folders, it's important for us to understand how the files are managed in the Windows environment. And we did talk about this just, and I know you're probably sick to death of hearing about trees, but we're all greenies here, aren't we?
Absolutely.
So, if you imagine a tree with a trunk, branches and leaves, it helps you get a picture. And I actually find that useful, having had vision sort of picture things.
So while we're doing this lecture, Geraldine is imagining that she's sitting out under a nice, beautiful, cool tree with a trunk and branches and leaves. She's just a tree in a forest.
With a nice glass of wine in my hand.
That's right, okay.
So if you think of the trunk of the tree as the main starting place, so I guess your trunk's like your root folder in the Windows environment, and your folders are similar to the branches, so the branches connect to the tree. And then you've got minor branches coming off there, attached to the major branches, so they're the subfolders and they're attached to folders. And the leaves, if we go right down to the leaves, attached to the major and minor branches are like files, and they're inside and attached to the folders and the subfolders. So many of you will have used Windows Explorer, and that actually works on the tree structure. So you've got that tree structure in Windows Explorer displays the file management, and this name will come up in your exams, believe me, and it's called the hierarchical structure, and that's your hierarchical structure, files, folders, and drives on your computer.
Now the reason, I'd just like to point out here, the reason we are flogging this topic to death is because I have never ceased to have been amazed by the number of people who use a computer and completely fail to grasp this tree structure, even though, and these are the ones who can see, who actually use Windows Explorer and actually see the tree on the screen. They just don't get it.
They don't get it.
So here we are.
So we apologise for flogging the point, but...
That's right.
And it is, as I said, going to be the exam, so...
Yes.
We'd like to help you along a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And point out when this thing's going to be in the exams, because it does make it a little bit easier for you.
Mm-hmm.
And every point counts, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
Well, when you want to get 70% or better,
that's right.
As a student, that's one point can make a difference.
Well, that's right. And then open Windows Explorer, which is something you might want to do. Start, Programs, Windows Explorer. Or you can hold down the Windows key and press E. You can also right click on the Start button and click the Explore. I've never done that in my life, but you can, you know.
No, I haven't done it either.
No.
I used to start E. It's nice thing.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, just a bone of contention here, that key that is actually called the Windows key rather than the Start key.
Mm.
Although it is quite common for people to call it the Start key because it has that little picture on it that looks like, you know, the Windows thing. But it's actually the Windows key. And the right-hand key, the one that you can sort of pull up context menus with, that is actually called the Document key. That's okay, we hear that referred to as the right-click key, which it certainly isn't, but that's, you know, different names for different things.
Okay, so three main parts to Windows Explorer window when you have opened it, and the top area is known as the title bar, and the left window pane is for your folders, and the right window pane displays the file name and possibly file details, if you're lucky, such as your size and your type. And you can view the files in different modes by selecting View on the title bar.
I bet there's a lab that takes you through that in mind-boggling detail, changing those. Or mind-boggling list view, if you set the preferences that way.
And if you go into details mode, though, it'll give you the most information about each file. As an alternative, there's other modes available to you, and they may simplify your viewing by showing only the name of the file as in the list view. And for those with a bit of sight, you'll notice a plus sign appears next to folders that contain subfolders. And you can actually click on the plus sign to view the subfolders.
Or if you're using JAWS, you can press the right arrow and that will open the tree. Right arrow opens branches of the tree and left arrow closes them.
You can also click on or arrow to the left window pane and the folder contents will appear in the right window pane.
Now, I'm not 100% sure on this, but if my memory serves, and I don't use Windows Explorer, I use my computer because I find it far more efficient, I believe F6 will actually flick you between the list view and the tree view.
We'll have to check it out.
Oh, I can check that out
right now.
I'm about to press Windows E as the notes suggest. Okay, here comes Windows Explorer. Anytime now. Now if I go down here and press F6, it does, you know, and you press F6 and it drops you back to the, and then drops you to the address bar, to the toolbar, and back to the file list. So there you go, F6 does toggle you through those. So there you go, you learn something new every day and forget three more things.
I like that. that's good.
You can click on files, yep. People with some vision, oh yeah, you said that, they'll notice a plus sign.
Yeah.
If the font isn't too small.
People also might want to click on the minus sign if they want to collapse the subfolder back into the folder.
That's right. And the best way, seriously, is to muck with this, kick the tyres, take it around the block, or take it around the hard drives, as the case may be, and definitely play with those view options. Make sure you knew what it was set to so you can put it back, but do have a play with that. Practice viewing folders and files and that sort of thing.
And it's a good thing to do, even though my computer's easy, because all the sites people can use Windows Explorer.
No, funnily enough, they don't.
No? I'm going on my husband.
No, well, he uses...
He's strange anyway.
He uses ZTree or whatever.
I know, he loves ZTree.
the fact is that a lot of sighted people used to use Windows Explorer, but the reality is that so many of the open dialogues look like my computer these days, like the file open dialogues. They don't look like Windows Explorer at all, so there you go.
Well, you know, it's in the course.
It's in the course, so we do it.
We do it.
You know, horses for courses, although we don't have any horses enrolled.
I'm not going there.
No, okay. File management organises your computer. Well, it's important for you to organise your computer. Nobody else is going to do it for you. Folders enable us to store files in a computer in a logical structure and then lose them. Retrieve them.
You heard what you said.
And it's very important that you make up a sensible organisational structure for your computer. And I would strongly recommend that you think about it before you get started, because these ad hoc organisational structures really get messy and you just don't know where things are. One of my in-laws has that problem all the time. This person cannot find a document that they have saved away onto their computer.
Oh dear. That's sad.
It is.
Yeah.
You want to talk about creating a new folder?
No, I can do that. When you're going to create a new folder in Windows Explorer, well, we're talking about the scroll bar here, between the left and right window panes to locate desktop. And we all know, so we speak into the converter here, that the desktop is the screen that appears when Windows 98 or any of those boot up now. Desktop allows you an easy access way to get to your files and folders and applications. If you're using a mouse, you would click on the desktop in the left window pane of Windows Explorer with the desktop highlighted, and then move the cursor over to the right window pane and click in a blank area, which we all did in the lab yesterday, just for fun. you then choose New and Folder from the menu.
Now, that is one of the most roundabout ways I've ever seen of creating a new folder. But you can do it that way, and this is the good and bad thing about Windows, is that there are 27 different ways of doing just about everything. The other easier way is you open up the folder above where you actually want to create the new folder. So if you've got C:\mystuff and you want to create a folder called, say for example, Topaz, you'd open the C:\mystuff in Windows Explorer. You would then click on File, New, Folder. And that's a bit easier, or Alt F, N, Enter, if you're using JAWS.
Yeah, well, on an
Alt F, N is a lot. And then keyed into the edit box will be the words New Folder. And if you were to hit Enter, your new folder will be called New Folder. Or if you already had one of those, it'll be called New Folder 1, New Folder 2, New Folder 3.
We were talking about this. Call everything New Folder or New Folder.
And you'll probably want to type in a folder name that has meaning to you and your organisational structure, and press the return key, and the folder will be created.
And we talk a little bit about that now. The new folder's created, the words new folder will be highlighted. And then you can actually rename the folder. As you start typing a new folder name, the changes will appear on the screen.
That's always handy.
You then press Enter, or click on the blank screen area when you finish typing.
It's amazing to notice the people that insist on clicking on the blank area. They've got their hands on the keyboard, and rather than just reaching over and hitting enter, they reach for the mouse and click the blank area.
Oh yeah, you can't do it that easy.
No,
oh,
of course
goodness.
Not.
Actually, mouse users, because they're a lot slower than us keystroke users.
They are.
And don't forget, the folder name can have up to 255 characters.
Yes.
But they're only those valid characters. So.
All the ones we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Rename it at any stage just by clicking once on the folder to highlight it and then pressing the F2 key.
You can indeed.
And then you find it will highlight, you may not see it, and then type the new name.
Okay. The next thing we're going to talk about is using a text editor to create a file. You'll do this later in the labs, if you haven't a gazillion times already. You will practice later in the labs, but you can create files in things like Microsoft Word or WordPad or Notepad or similar applications. One of the reasons we concentrate on things like WordPad as opposed to Microsoft Word is that the full version of Microsoft Office retails for something around about $800. And WordPad comes with your computer. It also makes smaller files than Microsoft Word, so you might want to have a play with WordPad, people, if you haven't already. It's not Microsoft Word by a long shot, but it will allow you to type up the shopping list and other simple documents. It will also allow you to type up text files and stuff.
Yeah, so it's a useful thing to have. When you've done your selection or typed up what you want, you go to Save As from the file menu. Enter the name of the document, so you again give it a name that's relevant. So if you're talking about shopping list, don't call it something else.
Don't abbreviate too much. Don't call it sl.txt because you might not remember what SL means.
No, not when you've got 100 million files sitting there. So give it a relevant name and something that makes sense to you. So you can change the file from Word to Windows format to another format, just as clicking on the Save As, or quicker is Alt+F+A from the drop-down menus for the JAWS users, then selecting Save As, and then tabbing or clicking on the dialog box when it asks you for the type. There's a little scrolly bit that says you can have it like rich text.
Oh, Geraldine, a little scrolly bit. That is called a combo box.
Yeah, well, it's got a scrolly bit.
It is a scrolly bit. However, don't
you like my highly technical language?
Thing? Oh, I don't have a problem with your highly technical. I'm just making sure that people know what these controls are actually for.
Little
scrolly box. All right. Well, Geraldine will refer to them as little scrolly bits, and I'll refer to them as a combo box.
Well, it is a combo box.
Now, a combo box you tab to, and a lot of people don't realise this, you usually press Alt down arrow to open the combo box. And this is very important on the internet. There are combo boxes that you've got to open, otherwise the JavaScript will refresh your page every time you change the selection. Thank you, Bank West. And once you've done that, you can arrow up and down and change the type to rich text format or text or whatever you have.
Well, it's actually the arrow bit I was talking about is the scrolling bit. That'll be the phone.
No, that's my alarm saying that the workplace people are turning up in 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. We're going to take a pause?
I think we'll just pause this. Hang on.
Okay.